Paul, to all that be in Rome, servant of Jesus Christ, unto God, I purpose to command you,
both of the Greeks
let him
and
the barbarians,
I
both
am
the
ready
wise
to preach the gospel
unwise,
to you that are
it is
Rome
the power
also,
of God unto salvation
written,
to everyone that believeth,
just shall live by faith.
Sister, in whatever business she has need of you, for indeed she has been a helper of many and of myself also. Please greet Priscilla and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus, who actually risked their necks for my life, and whom not only I give thanks, but also I give thanks for all the churches. The Lord is thankful. This is his church. Jesus Christ is the chief shepherd of this church. The Lord is here in our midst. Amen. And the Lord is at work. And there's a wonderful work that will be accomplished this morning. He's already underway, even by these worship songs. Father, we do pray for the blessing and outpouring of your Holy Spirit in this time we have together. In Jesus' name, amen. This morning, we have children's ministry. So for infant and toddlers in the back, children's ministry is provided. The rest will be staying in here as we have this family celebration together. If you would, parents and grandparents, and again, this is a little bit different service this morning. This morning, we have the blessing of Kelsey and Allie. This will be their last Sunday with us, and we'll pray for them at the end of the service. And it's interesting, as we were approaching this particular Sunday, I realized that their strongest gift to our fellowship has been in worship. And I really wanted to allow them to use that gift for us in the greatest way possible this morning. So we're having an extended time of worship together. But as I was thinking about that, I thought what goes well with worship is communion, being able to have communion with one another. And as I was looking in the Bible and looking at where we're at as we're going through through Romans, we're in Romans chapter 16. And in Romans chapter 16, I read a part of the text, but in chapter 16, verses 1 through 16, and by the way, this is just a devotional message here this morning versus our normal expository teaching. It's a little different this Sunday. But right here in Romans 16, in the first 16 verses, Paul mentions about 27 different people by name. They're people that you will never know their names outside of Romans 16. You don't know much about them. Not only that, but also in this section, there's 21 different descriptions of these 27 people. For example, you can see that Phoebe was a servant. She was a helper. Priscilla and Aquila in verse 3 were fellow workers. We see that Mary labored much, and many of them were called those that labored greatly. Some were prisoners as well. Some were proved in Christ as well. And so we see the different descriptions of these servants of the Lord. I might note that 9 of them are women. Some people have a very wrong opinion about Christianity and women. You see Paul at the end of his life speaking directly about women who were in key places to help the gospel go forward. And women, if you understand just the greatness of Jesus Christ and his love for you, Christianity has done what no other religion can do. It has lifted women to the place that God has intended them to be. It's a great message from the Word of God. But as I was looking at this, and something came to mind, and a question came to my mind. Has the communion cup lost its meaning? Has the communion cup lost its meaning? So when I'm looking at this group of individuals in the first 16 verses of Romans 16, I think of you. I think of our fellowship. I think of just the adjective that can go by your name as far as being a worker, a helper, being there, being faithful, serving God, laboring hard. That's very true. That's true. But a question came to my mind. How did this happen? How did these people find themselves in this place? As a matter of fact, as I was going through this, you might note in Romans 16, verse 13, there's a name, and the name is Rufus. And you think, Rufus? A thought that's the only name for an NFL football player. It's not. He's here. But many of you might not know who Rufus was. You see, Rufus, as it says in verse 13, Paul is saying, greet Rufus, chosen in the Lord and his mother in mine. That's significant. Whoever Rufus is, his mother played a significant role to the Apostle Paul. Paul saw her as his own mother. But wait a minute, who is Rufus? There is a man named Simon of Cyrene. Simon of Cyrene was headed to Jerusalem when Christ was headed to the cross. On the road to Calvary, to the cross, when the weight of the cross was crushing Christ literally, a Roman soldier forcefully told Simon of Cyrene to help carry that cross for Christ. Simon of Cyrene's son is Rufus. It's Rufus. Can you think about that? For just a moment, can you think about Dad coming back to Alexander, his brother, and Rufus, and saying, you won't believe what happened today. This man, Christ, the Messiah, I've told you about him in our writings in the Old Testament. I saw him today. He was on the road to Calvary. He died. I literally helped carry the cross of Christ. I saw him die for my sins and the sins of the world. What a profound and life-changing effect it must have had on Rufus. So much so that he's engaged in the work of Christ and in the gospel. So much so that his mom was there to assist Paul and to be like a mother to Paul. You see, it is very rich in meaning. And I believe that the Lord wants to enrich our lives with meaning. You say, well, my name isn't written in the Bible. No, it's written in a better place. For every believer, your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. It is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Someone told me in our meeting earlier, and it's written in ink because it's there forever. Your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And not only that, Jesus will say, well done, good and faithful servant, but there'll be a reason he's saying that. He's just not candidly saying that. He's saying it because there's specific things about your life and your love for Jesus and your service for Jesus. He's going to say that. He has your name. There's something written by your name. But what will bless the Lord? Is it the work? No. It's the motive behind the work. We're not rewarded for the work. We're rewarded for the motive behind the work. Which leads me to the question I asked earlier. Has the communion cup lost its meaning? And for the answer, for me personally, I went over to 2 Timothy, and in chapter 2 of 2 Timothy, Paul is encouraging our brother Timothy, and he says in chapter 2 of 2 Timothy, and in verse 19, he says, the Lord knows those who are his, and let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity, from sin. Now listen, in verse 20, he says, but in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honor, some for dishonor. So that great house is the church. I was very blessed by a teaching on prayer years ago. And the teacher communicated that the Lord has called his church to be a house of prayer. He didn't necessarily call it to be a house of worship, but we love to worship. He didn't necessarily call it to be a house of Bible study, but we study the Bible. He says that this place is to be a place of prayer. We need to be known as a place of prayer. Do you see? I want to be a vessel of honor, and I know you do as well. Therefore, in verse 21, it says, therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified or set apart, useful for the master, prepared for every good work. Therefore, flee youthful lust. but instead now pursue righteousness. Brothers and sisters, pursue faith, pursue love, pursue peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. So this morning, the answer to my question, has the communion cup lost its meaning? The answer is no, if we have communion with a pure heart. The answer is no, if we have communion with a pure heart. How does that happen? I felt directed by the Lord to do something different this Sunday. I've asked a number of people in our fellowship to come forward and to be available on both sides here. So for those of you that are going to help assist me this morning in praying for our fellowship, can you come forward right now and be up at the front? Can you do that? And also, Pam, if you'd like to, with the prayer team and others. Okay. So here's what's going to happen. Already you feel uncomfortable. So let's just admit that right away. And especially as the individuals are looking at you and you're looking at them. But it's interesting what happens between now and the end of the service. What you're feeling now, you will not feel at the end of the service. Because we're going to continue worshiping Jesus right here, right now. We're going to worship Him. And during this time of worship, this is going to be literally a place of prayer. You're going to be able to come forward with one of our brothers or sisters or couples, and you're going to say, you know what, I want to be a vessel of honor for Jesus. And they want to pray with you and for you. And then there may be something else that's been on your heart that you're really asking God for help. Well, let's start first with asking for a pure heart, and then let's ask, Lord, here's another thing I'm asking your help for. Because this is a house of prayer. This is a place of prayer. This is not a place where we process Christians. No. This is a family where we possess the love of Jesus Christ. Amen. So here's how it's going to be. We're going to start continuing. We're going to continue in worship. And as we continue in worship, I'd ask first for prayer amongst the group right here. So if you know, husbands and wives, you can pray together. Pam there. Jason, maybe you can come over and just pray with them, and you three can pray together. So we want to start by humbling ourselves before the Lord and you. And I want our team members to start by just saying during that worship time, just do what I said, what the Lord has called us to do. And then after that, you'll be available so that you can come up. You can come up as an individual. You can come up with your children for prayer. This is a great time for moms and dads just to say, this is who we are, children. Or for individuals, this is the time. We can literally leave here with a strengthened heart in Jesus and the kind of purpose He has for us. Amen? If we don't have opportunities like this, then as your pastor, I become concerned. Are we just playing church, or are we being a church? So as your pastor, I'm just asking the Lord, please move upon the willing hearts this morning. The Lord wants to work. And at the end of all the time of all those who want prayer, we'll have communion at the very end of the service. Amen.